I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. I found.
Well, we're back to an abbreviated version of Stacks and Jacks. Since the Stacks and Jacks Suburban broke down on the way in, and it's now on being towed to my man Steve's on the south side. The revolting development, but nothing serious. So we'll. We got a half show here. S&P futures up 3.25. Dow futures up 85. NASDAQ futures down 10. Some earnings last night. Tesla's getting clobbered as they had a loss and a co-founder's surprise departure. So whatever. We'll go over all this stuff when we do. We'll do traffic, weather, sports at the top of the hour. But the interesting little piece I picked up yesterday is the market obviously is continuing to go up every day, kind of no matter what. When you You wonder why that is that happens. So if you're a sneaky dude like me, the first place you look is at the federal money supply. And a few months ago, I remember reporting to everybody listening that we had been down to like 2% growth as Jay Powell tried to get things back to somewhat normal. Well, now that he is essentially, I don't know if somebody has his grandkids caught somewhere or what, we're back up to, in the last 3 months, M2 is on an annual pace of 7.6%, and M1 would love. Fari, how are you, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. What'd you do to your Fed chairman with M2 now going up 7.6% and M1 11.2%? What did Grumpino tell the guy?
Grumpino doesn't know to talk his language anyway. He was barb of class at Penn. Come on.
Well, what I'm saying is,
you're giving him too much credit.
I think, Fari, that there's a very strong chance that with these guys pumping money in this fast, that we're talking about a half a point.
You think so, huh?
Well, I'm looking at these numbers. It's not whether I think so or not. It's what I'm looking at.
Right. No, I know. Well, and you follow these stuff. You know, this is an animal of its own temperament. You know, you got to really understand it. So I respect that. Yeah, I haven't looked at these numbers for years. And my only exposure recently has been through you, so.
Well, here's the issue. I mean, I honestly believe, Fari, that if you went back really to 1968, which is a long time ago, and you look at ups and downs in the market and almost in the economy, you're going to find the Fed, in my words, screwing up, doing political stuff, you know, chasing things, trying to do whatever guide it was that they think that they're supposed to be doing. But
So do you mean there are no magic guys out there? They're just one of us, huh?
Well, I think that they are more politically connected and making policy or trying to do something with policy instead of just doing their job, which in Milton Friedman's words was, you just grow the money supply at 3%, which is hard enough to do. So you even things out, and then you just let the place kind of rip. Once in a while, maybe you have to do something a little bit, but this idea of starting again, stopping again, and you know, you know me long enough. Things that screw with my market piss me off. And my market is the University of Chicago market, where it's a free market. It's not tampered with. that there's all kinds of people trying to do fundamental.
That was idealistic at times.
Well,
there's no such a thing as free market anymore.
Right, so what I'm saying is when this thing goes from, it's not, none of this basically crap is done in a vacuum. Now, when these guys decide to go from, 2% growth or 4% or wherever they were to 7.6%, start pumping money in.
Yeah.
It's not like they can do this without anybody knowing it. These guys,
sure.
I was going to say something bad, but I won't. They pick up the phone, they call J.P. Morgan, they call Chase. They essentially have a broker that goes out and buys them these bonds. They don't do it on their own.
No, it's too much work.
But not just that. I mean,
it's transparency.
Let's just say, for instance, we could be the two dumbest brokers on earth. You and I sitting here at PTI Securities.
Oh, please don't insult me like that.
Okay, but I'm saying we could be.
It wasn't the dummy part, the broker part.
Okay, but we're sitting here. But we're talking high-end brokerage, doing the Fed's business, okay?
Right. So, of course.
So, you and I would do that in a second.
Yes, of course.
Go out and buy $2 billion worth and charge me a commission. Okay. Duh. You think we'd do that? All of a sudden, we're sitting there going, hey, the Fed is buying bonds. Let me see. Yeah. They just bought $10 billion worth of bonds. That money is now in the system. Unless something horrible is happening today, this market's going up. You're giving these people. I mean, this is all market moving, on the way up, on the way down. Whenever you make these starts and stops, instead of just telling people, look, here's what I'm doing. I'm keeping the money supply going at 3.2%. That's it. You're not getting any trading stuff out of me. Go do your own fundamental analysis, your own technical analysis, you moron. I mean, don't look to me. Yet anybody who's connected with these people, who has any idea how these policies are changing. This is like a turkey shoot in somebody's backyard.
Yeah.
I mean, if you know what's going on, I'm sitting there going, how could this thing be going up every day? All of a sudden I look at these numbers, I go, duh, there it is. But somebody knows these numbers before I do, obviously. And they're ahead of the game. They better be, or they're the dumbest people on earth. I mean, this is all money making for people. It's all insider trading, all up and down the lane.
Are we live right now?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I mean, you think I'm right?
My cottage peer, I remember Robert Swan Mueller III testimony yesterday.
Well, I read the summation of it last night because it wasn't on CNBC. I was watching CNBC.
It wasn't on Fox either.
No, it was on. I think it might.
That was the best part. These guys said collusion, obstruction. But they didn't cover it. What are they afraid of?
Well, I think what he basically said is there was a bunch of as many as 7 to 8 times when there could very well be obstruction, and somewhere along the line,
being polite.
But then there's somebody. Remember, says,
it's from old school.
But not enough to indict a sitting president.
Well, no. Yeah. That's not what he said. No. Because of OLC cannot indict.
Right.
Those 7 and 8. 3 or 4 of them are ironclad. He would be in jail. Okay. No. But because of OLC. I wonder why somebody put that OLC in there. Doesn't make sense. To me, the system is rigged. I'm a Republican.
Well, sure, it's rigged.
We did not hire a dictator. Okay? This is a democracy. What happens in a democracy? Majority rules. When a minority is ruling like now at 35% or whatever, 40%, that's the problems we get in. That's why people are upset.
Well,
majority should rule.
I
don't like what do you call it? Electoral college. That's for the slave states. That was a compromise founding fathers did for the slave owners' states. Okay, that stuff is like it's like saying live life like Quran 1400 years ago or New Testament 2000 years ago or Old Testament 5700 years ago. Things have changed. That's one part. Secondly, I know the argument. Oh, it will hinder the president from his duties if we take him to the court system. You know what? If he has done something that high up, okay, in terms of a wrongdoing, he should be president anyway. So that's what we have a vice president for. In the interim period, vice president is acting president until the crowd goes away. So. We've put ourselves in this conundrum, and it's a shame. It's a shame for the the leader of the free world to operate like a banana republic and have a guy so lawless that it shows how much he was involved to, he makes, what do you call it? He makes Nixon like kindergarten boy.
Well, you can't,
when it comes to this
you can't really compare the two, because Nixon was a very intelligent, accomplished lawyer that had
exactly,
argued in front of the Supreme Court and everything else, even though he had his personality constraints. I mean,
they do have the same, what do you call it? You know, there's a letter from him hung in the Oval Office right now that said that something about it was like a 60 Minutes or something that Grumpino was on, and apparently Nixon says, I didn't watch it, but Mrs. Nixon watched it, and good luck to you and so forth, because in that one, there was a hint that he may run for office. Now, this is like 25 years ago, whatever it was. More than that, whenever Nixon passed away in 94, as a matter of fact, I went to his funeral. 94, me and my dad went to his funeral. 94, so way before that. But my point to you is that there's some similarities between them. You know, Nixon also said, if the president does it, then it's lawful. Well, listen, this is not a dictatorship, and I don't know where we're heading with this debt.
Well, maybe, I think
maybe,
we
hired a president, not a king, not a dictator, you know. But with the debt we have, I don't know. Maybe we are a battle republic, because if it wasn't for the military, we got nothing else going on.
Well, I would say that
we have no borders.
I would say both parties are a lot.
We're effed.
Well, a lot to blame, because
the next generation is effed. Period. Write it down. Fatty said that. Won't be around that long. But Fatty said that on this day. The next generation is effed. Think the current ones are like in 20s, 20-year-olds or 25-year-olds living with their parents. The next generation is even going to be worse than that.
We need
this debt is going to kill us.
Every time this country's had a massive crisis, including when we started, somebody of incredible ability has come to the forefront. A George Washington, a Lincoln, a Franklin Roosevelt. And we probably need somebody of that ilk now. I don't know
absolutely, yes.
The question is, all those guys...
Well, how do we train them to get there?
But not one of those people. Not one of those people. One guy who, I don't know, I'm sure it was stuff they could have found wrong with Washington. The other guy was ugly as sin, would not exactly go on TV, Lincoln. Right. And the other guy was in a wheelchair. So none of those people in today's media world...
Will have a chance.
Would have a chance.
I agree.
And the weird part is I keep mentioning this, Fari, in a traitor sort of tone,
right.
which isn't, you know, which most people think is kind of a joke, but it really isn't. I think the spread between the skill set to get the job and the skill set you want in the job has never been wider. The person...
you got to realize that very, very able guys, okay, they'll have a hard time getting elected,
That's what I just said in my trader lingo.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, like, let's say somebody like Gates or, I still do think we need somebody from a business world, by the way. I'm tired of the legal types. You know, all the lawyers. No.
I think legitimate
business world. Not some flunky with four bankruptcies and the stock going to zero. You know, when before you get delisted, the vultures come around circling over you. When they circle over DJT, the stock DJT, before it hit zero, nobody was interested to touch anything. Okay, not those. I'm talking about legitimate, successful people with the history of a business. Let's say Amazon guy, you know, Bezos or Gates. People would not like them. They're too strong, too powerful, all that. They understand too well. And also remember, we had to learn a lesson here about putting stuff in a blind trust.
But here's the
it's not blind anymore.
But here's the
they're well known. You know where they are. So that's one problem. But also, they wouldn't be willing to be subjected to that kind of scrutiny that the media wants. So we're stuck with. You know, flunkies. If we get a lawyer, like a Biden type, I don't know.
Well, you're falling into
two of these lawyer types. Look where we are.
But even you, you're falling.
I mean, last NBA we had was George W.
Yeah, but you're falling into the same trap.
Which is?
Well, I'm saying you're looking around. There are people in this country. I'm going to say I'm not going to say people like me, but people that are even in the Chicago area. I can name you a couple that maybe served in the military,
right,
had their own business.
Well, that's another thing. Maybe, you have to be already in the military.
What I'm saying is there are people that served in the military, maybe owned their own small business that never got, but did a good job, knows what it's like to own a business, maybe had a little bit of a spot where they were state senator or something, know something. There are people that are that well-rounded. But what you're talking about, you immediately, the trap you're falling in, and I'm not accusing you of anything because I love you, man.
No, that's fine.
But I'm saying, the trap you're falling into, you immediately start thinking of a celebrity guy. Because that's what it's going to take to get in there. A guy who's somehow which is what's wrong. I mean,
That's what I said. It's sad if that's the case.
Yeah, this guy gets in there because he was on You're Fired. I mean, everybody knows the name.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and everybody's talking about the head of...
Well, that says something about population distribution, i.e. IQ.
No, well, yeah. So you're talking
about... Remember I said a long time ago,
who can run?
Manny was with us that day. I said, in my world, I would vote in my democracy, ideal democracy. I don't want one man, one vote. I want IQ-adjusted voting. Of course, another would call me a fascist.
But the
idea would die right there.
A few years ago, a couple of elections ago, I won't say a few years ago, somebody wrote an article and said, you know, the people were running was Clinton and whatever. And he said that by far the most intelligent man, the guy you want in the Oval Office, based on his experience and his ability to deal with people, was James Baker.
Houston?
The guy, I don't know what administration he's in. He's the guy who did everything. He knew everything.
I mean, he's a Princeton guy.
Yeah, he's A, not going to run. And B is not a great stump speaker. He's not going to do 15 stump speeches in a day,
right?
You know, we got to get away from this where it's this movie starlet sort of dude that gets in there and has no idea what he's
Baker's
doing.
Baker's very understated, old money. He was a buddy of George W.
Yeah,
George Herbert Walker Bush. Yeah,
but I mean, he was a guy that there's no way I couldn't vote for him. I have to vote for him.
Yeah, he's very much like mother type, actually. Old school lawyer type, old money, works like hell, and to him, this is in being in the nation's service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who do we have like that around?
I think his daughter went out with one of my friends.
Really?
That's how I know him, yeah.
Didn't go out with you? She wasn't blind?
No, not with me. No, with one of my friends. No.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, when my mom was stuck in Cyprus and low on medicine, and that messed up her immigration, you know, her green card interview. And it was very difficult. So I did two things. A, shipped some, and you couldn't ship anything. The airlines would have refused to take any medicine door to door, okay? You could, and then the time that she would take her to get the medicine would be too long. So through a friend in LAX, we said that this was a diabetes situation, insulin. I got her, one of the captains, that was flying to Cyprus, take the insulin himself, and he managed there locally to deliver it to her, to where she was staying, right by the embassy, because we were waiting for that interview. And B, I called, George Herbert Walker Bush, he was the president for 3 or 4 days. I called his office, and they said, you know what? Why don't you talk to Baker? I said, well, he's still in the, James Baker. I said, he's still in nomination process. He's not, he's going through Senate confirmation. They said, that's okay, but his fax and all that stuff is active. They gave me his private number. I called, talked to his secretary, sent my paperwork. 2 days later, she got approved.
Really?
Yes. Well, so I pulled the Princeton connection. I said, listen, I need your help. This is what I've done for this country. I work on a B-2. I work on an F-18. My dad saved Goldman from bankruptcy, largest employer. This, you can verify all of this. This is a legitimate request. She had a valid interview, but they're messing around with her, delaying her comeback 2 days from now. She's ill. She's low on insulin. We cannot take this risk. What am I supposed to do as a citizen? What would you do for me? And
good for him. Good for you.
Yeah. 2 days later, boom. And then I also called. Then after that, I called the consul in Larnaca, and I would talk with him again because he would refuse. He would give me all kinds of excuses. I would be up 3 in the morning calling over there to to talk to him. He was giving all kinds of excuses, even though this was an approved case from L.A., filed based on my citizenship, and she has a legitimate right for an interview. You can deny the applicant basically if something goes wrong in an interview, okay? But they wouldn't even talk to her, okay? And I told them, I said, listen, I don't know where you came from. Right now, you're the boss. You're the counsel. But I'm going to promise you something. With people I know in Washington, you're going to be fired in 60 days. He made it another 35, 36 days that he got fired.
Good.
I did a full report, sent it to White House, and one of the George Herbert Walker Bush assistants got back to me, and I said, this guy, I don't know who is this guy. Why is he representing us? Look how he's applying. He's a consul. He's not an immigration guy. He's supposed to he's a visa guy. Consul is a State Department. He's not immigration, but he's supposed to facilitate, because they can't put immigration guys in every consulate or embassy. He's supposed to facilitate that. Here's what he's supposed to do. He's not even asking my mom coming to the appointment that she had. We had this all in writing from immigration, what the date is, time, blah, 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 blah. Because all is computerized. Not a joke. Anyhow.
Well,
it was gone in 35 days.
The ambassadors, I got to believe that, you know, they could drop us as the ambassador to France or something. And I got to believe the people there know what they're doing, and we just go to dinners, right?
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, and Cyprus is not exactly your high diplomatic placement, you know, or post, if you will. I should say post, yeah. France and England probably are most, cherished spots. That's what you give to your best supporters. Remember, the ambassadorship itself is political, very political. You know, like they gave Caroline Kennedy Japan, okay? Well, like Japan could be too. Same thing to Japan. You have 3 or 4 years of very, very seculated and protected fancy royalty, if there is such a thing in the U.S., to these things. But the working level, you know, the first secretary, second secretary, the consuls, they work their ass off.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of work to be done. If you go to these embassies, if you visit them, you'll see. When I was young in Iran, I was coming to the U.S., I had a couple of interviews in there for just updates, you know, updates of my passport at the Iranian embassy, U.S. embassy in Tehran. And there's a huge staff there, you know, as normal, not during the revolution. This is way before pre-revolution. There's a huge staff everywhere. You got to take care of the, you know, applicants.
Or just a daily routine.
People coming just for a visa, you know, just a visit visa, you know, visitor visa. Well, it takes paperwork and space and, copier machines and, you know, logging everybody in, make sure the paperwork is real, that kind of stuff. Because if they don't stop you there, nobody's going to stop you. Okay?
Fired a guy in Chicago. Yeah, Chicago that has got to be the single best public works project in the history of the world. It was the deep tunnel project, and these guys got in on early Kenny construction. This thing started when I was in high school, and they're just
what
finishing.
What are they doing? Is it that O'Hare?
Doing a deep tunnel for water, so you don't have to put water in the river. All these pipes underground, they've been boring holes and stuff since 1968.
It's still going.
Well, I think they supposedly finally tapped it all into this big, quarry. They finally found a spot to put all the water when we have more than 2 inches of rain, so we don't have to dump it in the river. But it's been a 50-year project. And so one of those guys, one of the Kenny boys, ended up being the ambassador to Ireland.
Yeah. Wow.
But I think most, anybody Irish guy in Chicago would love that job.
Oh, yeah, you could be drinking all day.
Yeah, well, see.
And get paid for it.
And get paid for it.
Yeah.
All right, Fari, so what, we've got these guys.
So hold on. Well, before we go there, I just see a huge bump up on a 15-minute chart of NQ. What happened? About 7:30. What happened? I mean, my time.
Well, I got it down 9:75.
About 7:30 my time.
I got it down 9:75. Amazon is now up. We've got, Tesla's getting clobbered. Tesla's down $28, but that's not much.
I know. I got killed on Tesla.
Netflix is up a little bit. We've got,
Microsoft is all-time high.
Yeah. So, I mean,
he's 141. I was telling about my Microsoft, one of my friends who's got a pretty decent, I mean, his wife runs used to be executive of Microsoft, so they have a huge stock grant. And they were trying to sell it at 85 on. I kept on, hold on. And then earlier this year, I said, my target is 140. Here's a 141 print, my friend.
Well, the thing is, they've eased themselves into a permanent monopoly. Amazingly well done on their part.
The satire is something else. That and Scott Guthrie, his number two, the executive VP. My brother Nader used to work for him when he was much lower, you know, because those guys have been there 20 years or so. Guthrie did the .NET and did the Silverlight, and he did the cloud. Okay, he and Cetera, they are behind the cloud. They did that model is something else. Plus these other models, like, you know, the Amazon, Amazon cloud is not operating system. You know, you see what I'm saying? The beauty of Microsoft cloud is your operating system gets updated in real time. You don't even know. You don't have to touch it.
But still, an amazing amount of their business is charging people per month for Office. The only reason why you use Office is because it comes with the machine and they put everybody else out of business.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an amazing monopolistic thing.
And then now if you run a Skype, you have to have Office too.
Well, plus
the Skype for Business runs on that.
Because
regular Skype. Skype for Business, which they're going to be calling it Meetings, it's all integrated. It's just, look, we do all of our work on Skype. We have 4 Skype channels now in real time. It's just the best thing we've ever done. You actually see a video of our charts live, real time. So you see all of our indicators live coming to you. No snaps, no send you a picture, no running on your screen. You see something different than the guy next door. And because it's on the cloud, the latency is zero. No matter where you are on the globe. You see my point?
Well,
wherever you're on the globe, you see the same picture. So, like a lot of guys used to complain from a Merck floor guy saying, Barry, what you show on your chart versus what I see on the floor is like 15 seconds off, 10 seconds off. I said, listen, have you taken a TV to a baseball game? Guess what? TV isn't real time either. But that's CNN or ESPN. Give me a few $1 billion, I'll make it that close. There may be like half a second off or a second off. But there's nothing in real time because it has to be processed. It's digital. It's a DSP, digital signal processing. It has to still go through the chips and the internet to get to you.
You know what's real time, Fari?
What?
On-air TV and on-air radio.
What do you mean on-air radio? That's not real time either.
Sure it is.
But no, you still have to go through chips.
Well, but I'm saying, but
you have to go through chips to get there. Even your conversation right now, you and I have, is not real time. Can't be. It can't be. Well, because the signal itself has to go through chips to get to you. Real time is you're there.
Well, ours
the
is not.
Real time is you are in the pit.
Ours is not real time because we have an 8-second delay in case you say something bad.
Well, that's different. Okay, that's different. All right. No. Well, then I said piling up on those. All right, no worries. But my point is, but we have 15 seconds or 20 seconds off depending where you are on the globe. Remember, you're trying to reach. This is what I do, is like a radio program, 7 hours a day, free. I mean, free for me because it doesn't matter how much I use. Yeah, on the globe. Okay.
Very good.
Johannesburg, as you have a different delay versus you're in Minneapolis.
Go to a baseball game 15 years ago, bring your transistor radio, you probably had a boombox, turn on WGN.
No boombox here.
Turn on WGN, and you're listening to the game live.
But there is if you were listening to the announcer in the stadium, and he was also on the radio, you would see a delay.
I understand.
That was the first course I took at Princeton.
I understand. Yes. You're a physicist. But the point is, the crack of the bat that you heard versus the radio was virtually identical.
Correct.
I'm sure
it's fairly close, but yeah. Not real time.
No, I get it.
I'm doing a time slice that, you know, 1/1000th of a second in my mind when I'm talking about this.
Yeah. But if you try and put the radio on versus a football game on cable, you're talking about a 10-second delay. You got to.
Oh yeah, cable is very slow. I agree with you.
It's incredibly slow.
Of course, then also you're processing a lot more. Plus, it's going through so many different things to get to you.
Yeah. All right, Fari, we got 1 minute. What's going on with this market? Are you going to pour money in until it ended?
I'm going to go back long again. I went off Tuesday night. I told everybody last week, given the where we are, the political issues, also we're ratcheting up again. It just makes sense for us to take the noise out. Which is yesterday. I did. And of course, it's a very busy week. We had to issue 300 for our PMT, so we're late to Monday. So I'll see what our call would be tonight going in for a market call change. But, you know, if you look at the dome during the daytime, you'd see as you come trying to buy, there's so many sellers are waiting there. That means there's a two-way market. It's an active two-way market. The wider the active two-way market, There's only one path of least resistance.
We'll talk to you next week, buddy. SP Futures up 450, NASDAQ Futures down 1175. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, remember, Luckbox Magazine, the guide to money and probability, is available on newsstands for $79 per issue. Stocks and Jocks listeners, however, receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. We have the S&P futures up 475, NASDAQ futures down 10. We've got the Dow up 100 because we've got some bounce back, and Triple M is up $9. That stock went from 220 to like 150 something. Now it's back up to 189. So I guess by the dogs of the Dow this year, it was a dog, and it's been a good do so far. Over in Europe, we've got DAX up 45. Now, the European Central Bank signals that they're going to even do more. They get zero interest rates. They want to look at more for more stuff they can buy over there. They are out of their minds. It has not worked, and they keep pushing it. It's like bleeding people. Oh, we just didn't bleed them enough. DAX up 44.4%. FTSE up 29.4%. CAC around up 52.9%. Over in Asia, we've got Nikkei up 46. 0.2%, Shanghai up 14.5, Hang Seng up 70.2. We've got oil is up 97 cents to 56.85, so back kind of in the middle of the road here where it was really the start of the week. Brent up $164.19. Gold up $9.14.32, another new high in gold. What do you guys got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a great start on the air expressways, roadways, and tollways, Chief. No issues coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Traffic building on the Eisenhower and Stevenson, but no accidents or issues to report. Southside Expressway is looking good, too. Do have some closures downtown for Lollapalooza set up. Jackson Boulevard between Columbus and Lakeshore Drive is closed. The festival runs from Thursday, August 1st through Sunday, August 4th. But they're preparing for that. Balboa Drive between Columbus and Lakeshore is also closed. But everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, another beautiful day as we continue this string of nice sunny weather. Sunny skies today with a high of 83. Right now it's sunny and 68 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, mostly cloudy today with a high of 106. Right now it's overcast and 88. In sports, Cubs salvaged the final game of their three-game set in San Francisco, beating the Giants 4-1. They also optioned Addison Russell down to AAA and activated Wilson Contreras off of the injured list. Cubs are off today, and then they have a big series in Milwaukee this weekend. White Sox were shut out by the Marlins last night 2-0. They welcome the first-place Twins into town tonight. Diamondbacks beat the Orioles 5-2. Chief.
David, how are you?
I'm here.
Good to have you, bud. Hey, two things. I'm looking at stats here. Stats. One is that the federal budget deficit is almost up to last year, and we've got July, August, September. We've got 3 months to go. So much for the guys, the Republicans, being the guys that, you know, cut back on spending. That isn't happening. Just saying.
Yeah, I heard something this morning about a vote and no vote about, you know, defense spending and other budget spending, and a non-vote would mean a rapid increase in spending because there's mandatory spending that's in place, and it's so. And if they vote to increase spending, it's better than a no vote, which has mandatory accelerated spending.
Well, look at the stacks,
and they wonder why folks don't want to write their tax checks.
Well, you look at what happened with Lockheed and these companies are all going to the moon. I shuddered when I looked at this money supply number. I was mentioning with Fari a little bit. In the last 3 months, 7.6% M2, 11.1 M1. I think we're looking at a 0.5% cut. I listened to some guy from Morgan Stanley yesterday. I couldn't believe it, David. He's talking about how the Fed is so behind the curve because look at what the other central banks are doing. David, it hasn't worked. Europe is no better now than when they started doing this. I mean,
I'm not a fundamentalist, but from all the headlines and all the talking heads and quote-unquote experts and economists, I would have to agree.
You got to do more. It does remind me of bleeding people. You didn't bleed them enough. That's why it didn't work.
And just as a segue or an offshoot, you know, you were mentioning Dogs of the Dow. There is an ETF, which in full disclosure I have a few shares for some folks, called S-Dog is the symbol, S-Dog. And it's not specifically the Dogs of the Dow, but it does yield about 3.7%, which, you know, is not bad with a 2% 10-year and about 1.9% yield on the Dow. And, you know, it has stuff like Philip Morris, IBM, General Motors, the like that are in the Dow, but other high yielders like Qualcomm, Schlumberger, Edison International, Western Digital, etc. So, and the interesting thing about that one, and I'm not touting it because I have a few shares for folks, but it's interesting in this environment because the top 10 holdings, most of which I've already mentioned, they're all about uniformly spread. Each one is about a 2%, 2.1% weighting to as much as 2.8%, all in the twos. So they're very, very, it's a very well-balanced fund so that if one does go bad, you know, hopefully the other ones perform pretty well.
Well, the as you well know, and it's hard to, sometimes it's hard to communicate to listeners that there are times in the market where strategies work and others don't work. And
right.
I, for a period, the last 3 or 4 years, I'm going to say it was very difficult to manage money for people. Now, at the end of last year, when I started doing more of the Protected Index program in the last quarter, all of a sudden, you know, we had the strategy that was the right strategy again. Okay. But for a while, it wasn't. And but right. That's the way, but for a while, David, I'm going to say 6-7 years ago, when you saw the market move up and it started to move, the trick was to look at, I don't want to sound like one of the goofballs on TV, you know, good company, great management. But basically, you looked at the laggards. Okay,
right.
And you could always find a laggard or two, and you put a spread on in those things, and they came back because the market had a way of kind of evening itself out. Now, the last few years, that didn't happen at all. It was all five stocks. And no matter what you did, if you weren't in those five stocks, you didn't come close to matching the market. It got narrower and narrower and narrower.
That, there was a figure even just 2 days ago where in the S&P 500, 52% of the issues in the S&P 500 were below their 200-day moving average.
Well, okay.
With the index at record highs.
But now in the last, if you would have been, if you'd have bought Amazon, and I got Amazon trading 2006, okay, but if you'd have bought Amazon at 2150, was it like 18 months ago? Well, the market's up from then, and you,
right.
you're behind. So,
right.
No, what I'm saying, but those stacks, Microsoft, I, you know what I love about Microsoft? I hate it and love it at the same time. All these other companies have managed to get themselves basically their drawers in an uproar, everybody else's drawers in an uproar, and they're going after the Amazons and the Googles. And the quiet monopolist all along has been Microsoft. They've managed,
no question.
And they've managed to sneak through totally unscathed by the Justice Department. And I think now that they're looking at these other places, Microsoft's got another 5 years to go because there's not enough bandwidth to look at what they do.
And that was the original one that they took apart, whatever, 10 years ago.
Yeah, but now it's okay. It's all kind of back doing the same stuff. And, you know, but I mean,
and more.
Yeah, these guys are just way ahead of the government we put there. And if it's whether it's buying people off,
and they are the only serious challenge, you know, to Amazon in web services.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yep.
And to me, it's there's some minor fixes that I don't think are necessarily full fixes, but I would say in our industry, David, we could solve 70-80% of the problems that I think are there by just saying you can't trade within the penny. You got to trade on the number. That means
I know what that means.
Well, it means last time you did a stock trade for somebody, you probably got filled at IBM at 150.12899999.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right. No, I get it.
And I'm going to say that if you reverse the Supreme Court decision and says Amazon is responsible for collecting all taxes for the state it's going, they lose even today, which now people say, well, I'm paying it. You're not paying the same amount. You're not paying local. And Amazon still does not charge if you buy from a camera store in North Dakota, they don't charge it because that's a third party trade. So you're still not. So that advantage needs to be taken away from them. Once it does, we'll see how good they really are. And if they still are, more power to them. This is America. But that's too big of an advantage, a 5-10% head start on a guy with a brick and mortar. That's way too much of an advantage. It has been forever. And I tell you what, I'm one of the few people. I don't mind putting my nose in a beehive. All I know is if you have a parking ticket, they'll chase you to the ends of the earth to get that money. And yet, all everybody in the state who's got dough that has bought Amazon stuff from Amazon and not paid taxes for 20 years now, those names should be rung up. Mrs. Pritzker, Mrs. Rauner, whoever the hell they are, you bought 48 TVs for your 15 houses, and guess what? You owe us this money to donate, and here's the penalty. It's three times as much. I want all those names up in lights. Because
I can see both sides, and being frank, I tend to agree with you, and yet there was some kind of former director of the FTC or assistant director or whatever, and I was surprised coming from, you know, that regulatory background that he said, hey, look, you know what, from a political standpoint in the conversation, I mean, they're siding basically with what you just said, but now he's with some kind of consumer groups or whatever, and folks love it. The technology has changed the way we live. It's tended to make prices more competitive on balance, and folks love it. You know, it's not just, you know, oh, geez, you can buy a TV at Best Buy for this, and then Amazon, it's, you know, $10 cheaper, so you go look at it at Best Buy and then order it via Amazon or whatever, but it's just, it's the Echo Dot, the web services, whatever, that people have become accustomed to using Google for search and Amazon for purchases, and they love it, and they believe they're, in most cases, they're getting price cuts, and they don't want government to break it up.
I didn't say
it
up.
Like I said, I'm 52% in your category, but I can understand the 48% that says, even if it's anti-competitive, it's easy, it's quick, and it probably saves me money, I'd rather push the button.
Okay, where my point is, if you're that good, and people love it, let's see if they love it fairly.
No, I get it. I agree. I agree with that.
I mean, you would never think of, if David's TV store is on Madison Avenue, and mine is on Adams Street, and the Chiefs TV store, everybody in the city knows you don't have to pay tax there. How pissed off would you be?
No, I get it.
So I'm saying, for somebody to opine that, okay, yeah, boy, they love the convenience. They love the convenience because it's 10% off.
Well, that's not the only thing.
I understand, but other people, if they didn't have that 10% burden, might be able to be more convenient.
No, I get it. I agree.
I'm just saying. I don't know. Let's make things fair and let's figure out what the world has come to.
The one backlash I would give you is if what you're saying in a really nice world where everything's orderly and whatever, and make it fair, and then let's see how good Amazon is. Your last comment on that disclosure was, you know, if they're that good, then this is America, then they should have a dominant position. What I worry about is politicians who could actually give a rat's butt as far as, you know, whether it's a benefit or not, or if it's anti-competitive or not. But hey, this is the big dog, I'm going to take him apart and get me elected. Do I really care about whether Amazon has a dominant place? Actually not.
Okay,
that's what I worry about.
My point was, I don't care if it's better for trade for the investing public, okay, to have 10 market makers versus 1,000 like it used to be in my day. If it's better for the investing public, these people don't need that advantage. I couldn't jump in front of somebody in the OEX pit when the market was 2 to 1/8 and say, no, I'll do that at 12.499 cents, and that in those days the customer had priority at the next price,
right?
And now we're saying customer never gets priority. These guys do.
Right.
Look how much better they are. They got these big computers. Well, if they really were that much better, they wouldn't need that advantage,
right? No, I agree with that.
And it bothers me. I mean, you hear, you know, all over the place that, you know, if somebody gets busted for marijuana in their pocket and they're African American or something or other, or if they don't have money, can't afford an attorney, they're much more likely to be in county jail than you or I would. And I guess everybody sort of knows that, okay? It doesn't mean that they didn't do it. It doesn't mean that they didn't break the law. I get that part. But all I know is you have one parking ticket and they will follow you into the men's room, David, And yet we have laws on the books that say you have to pay sales tax on something bought outside the state. Nobody ever goes after anybody. Who makes right. the determination that we'll chase somebody down for a parking ticket, but we don't go after that? It has to do with who's buying what.
If the Pritzkers and Rauners are buying 15 TVs, they don't want taxes collected.
Well, they don't want their name up there. Imagine what the list of the...
Or if they haul out 23 toilets so that they don't have to pay property tax, as we know has happened, then that's okay, too.
Can you imagine if it was the top 100 people in this state who have abused that tax law more than any? Can you imagine the names would be on that?
Not really. I don't know those that kind of wealth.
Well, some of this way, a lot of those people would know who the other people were.
Yep, they'd all be in the same line with their checkbooks out to pay the taxes.
Well, I mean, the one guy who's the one knucklehead they put in jail because he bought the guy from Howlingshire, or what was that guy's name? The guy who had the art stuff delivered to New Jersey, so they have to pay New York tax. They put him in jail.
Oh yeah.
What was his name?
I know who you mean, but I can't.
Yeah, was it? Was that the guy who owned the Sun Times?
I don't know.
I think it was. I think those are the guys originally owned the Sun Times. Anyway, David, I see this money supply number. I'm thinking there might be half a point cut. What if there is? Is that one and done? Does that mean the market runs up from there? Or does that mean a few people know now that that's where it's going and they're running it beforehand? Or I mean, did you sell that news? Do you buy that news?
I think a lot of this is anticipation of trade talks between U.S. and China.
God, how many times can we get on that road?
I think it's going to be a long, long, drawn-out process. They've admitted that. And I kind of think this is blow-off. Technically, just blow-off top, melt-up, whatever terms you want to use. I mean, I'm seeing price momentum oscillator numbers, some shorter-term ones, at 99.
Wow.
Where does it go from here? And I'm not trying to make a case, step in front of a freight train, whatever. Melt-ups can go as far as they want to go. But sooner or later, I think this... I'm not trying to take away from my quote-unquote efficiency model, but I think the market's ahead of itself.
What do you make of the Tesla stuff yesterday?
You know, again, I'm not a balance sheet guy or whatever, and, you know, supposedly the margins fell short. 18.9%, they were looking for 20. And supposedly, though, that they have cash, that they won't have to come to the market for debt or secondary offering for a couple, 3 years. Full disclosure, I have some long put spreads or whatever, so I do have some shorts on, so I don't want to, you know, throw the public off. But I don't, even though I'm short, I don't think it was as bad as what it looked like.
Well, the one guy left, and obviously people are just saying, how much longer can this be, you know, this year, next year? I mean, the stock's still trading pretty high. I mean,
from a technical standpoint, it ran into resistance, and the oscillators got big time extended, and that's when I put on, you know, these put spreads. But as much as I know from balance sheet analysis and, you know, fundamentals, I did not think the report was... It was negative. It was worse than what they expected, but I didn't think it was that negative.
Okay.
In my position, I'm willing to cover some shorts and take a little profit.
Okay. Well, that's probably a good idea. The other one I'm having a struggle with, and I had a couple clients call me about, was I'm having a tough time putting a value on this Boeing.
I don't know. I mean, if they do literally shut down production or whatever, besides their obligations for airline, forget in a nasty way. I mean, they have to cover the families who have lost, you know, loved ones. But beyond that, I think they're going to have a big ticket to airlines for loss of businesses and the way they conducted, you know, the pilots, you know, with systems overtaking what the pilots were able to do. I think this, and you know, down the line, you know, with competition and forward orders and whatever, you basically have to be bullish, but this thing could drag on for months and months and months and months, maybe even a year or more.
Well, actually, being involved in a project like the Amtrak cars that you see going down a track still that were built at Pullman when I was there, nothing cascades worse than building stuff when you can't make deliveries. Right. And we were talking about, you know, 10 railroad cars that were sitting there we couldn't deliver, and, you know, it's a smaller company.
Yeah, Boeing is huge. 42 a month.
But this is 42 a month. We're pushing, what, 6 months now? There's got to be 200 of these things parked somewhere.
They're putting them in parking lots
Yeah.
now.
And I mean, they're talking about shutting it down.
I know.
But now, what that does...
they can't make that first week in November and get clearance and the like and, you know, verification and whatever, they're talking shutting it down. So this thing could really, really hurt them. But, I mean, it hurt them first quarter, and who knows how many more quarters.
But I'm going to say, David,
option calendars.
What I'm saying, a railroad car has, you know, tens of thousands of parts, okay? Maybe 10,000. I'm going to say 737 is pushing 100,000 parts. What do you do to the seat manufacturers? What do you do to the engine manufacturer? There's got to be 50 to 200 and 300 serious suppliers, tires, landing gear. You just name it. How do you shut all those guys down and not put them out of business and then say 6 months from now, okay, start back up? How does that work? I mean, Pullman screwed a few people.
The supply chain disruptions have to be unbelievable.
I mean, Pullman did that, but the people who you couldn't go without, the truck manufacturers, the trucks were lined up in the tracks in Hammond. They took delivery of the trucks. They paid for them because you couldn't let those guys go out. The air conditioners, right. They all came. The seats all came. You couldn't shut those guys down. I mean, Boeing can't tell who's ever making the landing gear, hey, by the way, don't make them for a year and start up again like nothing happened. I mean, unless you're what are you going to pay for that? I mean, I hope they get this thing fixed because Boeing's a big part of the U.S. And man, oh man, they can't handle that thing not producing for 6 months.
Yeah, and since the Dow is price weighted, I believe it's the heaviest contributor to the Dow.
It is the highest price stock, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's $359. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even, having gone through it on a smaller scale, I can't even imagine the carnage you do to your suppliers. I mean, they're going to lay people off and those people aren't going to find another job for 6 months as they all come on back, start up like it never happened.
I agree.
I mean, that's, so when is this Fed meeting? Is it next week?
Yeah, it's the 30th. Yeah, next week.
And then there isn't
I
one.
I think it's a 2-day meeting. I think it's either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Wednesday, Thursday.
And then there's not one in August, right? Next one's September?
I don't think so.
Yeah, then the next September. One is. But I don't know, whatever. I can't imagine if Europe, what is Europe planning on doing after this thing this morning? They're looking for other ways. They're going to start going back to you know,
well,
buy,
they, supposedly buy the tout is that it's they've paved the way for a 10 to 15 basis point cut. Go deeper into negative.
I don't see. I have no idea how that, other than the massive ego these people have, what makes them think that what they're doing now is doing any good?
I don't know, Tom. I really don't know. It looks to me like they're on the fall on a big roller coaster and they don't know where the bottom is.
I would sort of agree with you. What, so you were talking about, 3022, 3022 is being the top. We're sort of right there.
Yeah, I'm not trying to advertise for, you know, step in front of a freight train, but if a portfolio is totally unhedged, I would either, you know, cash out of, if nothing else, some losers, take some profit on some winners, and at least put a few hedges in place.
Yeah, I think you got to be a little bit hedged here. I mean, obviously all my people are, my PIP guys are. Well, we'll see, David. We'll talk at you next week, buddy. S&P futures up a buck and a half. NASDAQ futures down 22. Again, big mover this morning is Tesla down 30 and 3M up 850. So we get one up, one down. We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.